For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear the case on President Trump's so-called travel ban, allowing some parts of the executive order to go forward. Our Washington correspondent Daniel Wrench's reports.
The order bans travel for a 90-day period for nationals and 120 days for refugees from six Muslim-majority countries: Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. But those who have close family members already in the country will be allowed entry, as will individuals with established formal ties to an organization, including students and businessmen. Three justices dissented, arguing it would be impractical for officials to enforce and will invite a flood of legal challenges to decisions. Daniel Wrench's Washington.
EU nationals living in Britain will need to apply for a, quote, settled status ID card after the Brexit. British Prime Minister Theresa May has been setting out more details on her proposals for EU citizens' rights as Britain prepares to leave the bloc. From London, our correspondent Ali Barrett reports.
Theresa May says all EU nationals who've been in the UK for at least 5 years will be granted settled status, which will come with an ID card and the right to bring spouses and children to Britain. Those who've been in the UK less than 5 years at the yet-to-be-agreed cut-off date will also be able to continue living and working in Britain and eventually also secure settled status. The Prime Minister says the offer is fair and serious and is on the basis it is matched on a reciprocal basis for UK citizens living in the EU. The opposition Labour Party says it's too little too late and claims the government is using people as bargaining chips in Brexit negotiations. Ollie Barrett, London.
Also, the British government has reached a deal with Northern Ireland's DUP party to receive their support in its minority government. The U.S. ambassador to China says he will make combating the threat from North Korea a top priority in his new role. In Washington, Giles Gibson reports.
A Republican governor of Iowa, Mr. Branstad says he'll prioritize addressing the U.S.-China trade imbalance alongside making progress on North Korea. President Trump is focusing on using a stronger partnership with China to counter North Korea's nuclear and ballistic missile programs. Mr. Branstad has close ties to Xi Jinping after the Chinese president visited Iowa as a young agricultural officer in the 1980s. Meanwhile, this month, President Trump also unveiled billionaire businessman Woody Johnson as the new U.S. ambassador to the U.K. Giles Gibson, Washington.
U.S. President Donald Trump went on another Twitter storm, this time demanding an apology for the Russia investigations, that there is no collusion between his team and Moscow. The American president is set to host India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi. This is FSN.
Thank you very much, Priscilla Huff. Good evening to you and welcome to the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Live from Manchester, it is June 26th, 2017. My name is Richie Allen. Get on Twitter right now and tweet at Richie Allen Show and talk to me.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Indeed it is. Now, coming up this hour, Philip Giraldi, decorated CIA agent, formerly, of course, and terrific journalist with the American Conservative. Philip joins the program, wrote an excellent article in theamericanconservative.com on Friday, asking about the UK's attempts to prevent terrorist attacks. Really good stuff. I'll tweet out the article. He's also been writing about the US relationship with Israel as well. Philip was on the programme several months ago. He's back today. And my old friend, the terrific Gerald Celente, the legendary publisher of the Trends Journal, will join us in the second hour. I can't get enough of Gerald. He'll be talking about US celebrities gleefully talking about the possibility of the assassination of Donald Trump. And as you were hearing in the news, he will also be talking about Trump's reaction to claims that Russia interfered and indeed engineered a result in the US election last November. So Gerald Celente joins us as well. We're live on davidicke.com, of course. Bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. We're on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. Check out fabradiointernational.com. And as usual, broadcasting live on TuneIn Radio and, of course, richieallen.co.uk. Hope you had a good old weekend. Lovely, pleasant Monday. If I could freeze frame the weather we had today, I would take it with me for the rest of my life. Lovely. 19 degrees, 20 degrees. Whatever that is in US money, in Fahrenheit, I haven't a clue. I'd say it's about 75, is it? 74, something like that. No idea. Lovely, with a lovely, gentle, light breeze. All is good. Let's have a quick chat about one or two things. You might or you might not be aware that the Communities Secretary, or Secretary, Sajid Javid, announced a short time ago that now it's believed by the government that 75 high-rise buildings in 26 local authorities have failed fire safety tests even. 75 high-rise buildings across 26 local authorities in the UK have indeed failed fire safety tests. What's going to happen? Well, they weren't very clear about that today, other than where possible, cladding that is flammable would be removed from those buildings and work would continue without too much of a disturbance to, without too much impositioning of the tenants in those buildings. But as we saw at the council run properties in Camden, or the properties run by Camden Council on Friday night, Saturday morning, there are fears that people are going to be asked to leave their households, leave their apartments and move into hastily constructed temporary accommodation. What we saw coming out of Camden on Friday night, Saturday morning was people being moved to gymnasiums and buildings where temporary mattresses had been put up for them and all of that. More on that in a couple of minutes. As you heard on the news, an agreement has been reached which will see the Democratic Unionist Party, headed up by Arlene Foster, support and back Theresa May's minority government. Now, this deal, what are we, 2 weeks after the election, more or less 2 weeks after the election, will see the 10 DUP MPs, they've got 10 members of parliament, back the Tories on the Queen's Speech and other key Commons votes. What are they getting for it? Well, there will be £1 billion extra for Northern Ireland over the next 2 years. And as you won't be surprised to hear, my dear friend, people who have been screwed to the wall by the Tory government, the Tory government that came in 2010 with the Lib Dem support of a coalition, and then the Tory government of 2015 up until June of this year, people who've been screwed, who've had their benefits frozen, who've had all sorts of things happen to them, they're wondering where that money has come from. How have they managed to find £1 billion to prop up their minority government? The leader of the DUP, Arlene Foster, said the wide-ranging pact was good for Northern Ireland and the UK, but people have been saying it's basically a bung, a B-U-N-G. What does bung mean? For my American listeners, it means bribe, basically. It's a bribe. Jeremy Corbyn said it's not in the national interest, and Gerry Adams of Sinn Féin said it enabled a Tory Brexit which threatens the Good Friday Agreement. That's what Gerry Adams had to say. They will review this in 2 years' time. This is very important. The DUP said it would apply, the agreement would apply to support the Tories for the lifetime of the Parliament, scheduled for 5 years, of course, but they would review it at the end of the current session in 2 years. Isn't that interesting? Of course it is. Now, Theresa May has said, regarding leaving the European Union, that she wants EU citizens living in the UK to stay after Brexit. She announced plans designed to put people's anxiety to rest, to put your mind at rest if you are an EU citizen living in this country. all EU nationals living lawfully in the UK for at least 5 years anyway will be granted something called settled status, and they will be able to bring over spouses and children. Those who come after a cut-off point, now they've not agreed what the cut-off point is, but those who come after the not-yet-agreed cut-off point will be given 2 years to regularise their status. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn said this offer wasn't generous and it was too little too late, he said. This should have been given in a unilateral guarantee of security after last year's Brexit vote, said Labour. Now, there will be a 15-page document outlining the detail of the UK's offer to EU citizens, and Theresa May has addressed MPs about all of this today. This is all on the back of the summit that was held in Brussels on Friday last. Interesting. Does that interest you? Are you from the European Union? Are you living in the UK? You've come from the EU, you've got a job, but you've not been here very long. It might interest you, it might not. Now, Grenfell Tower, we heard a minute ago that Sajid Javid, the community secretary, has said that there have been 75 failures of high-rise buildings across 26 local authorities. Even they failed fire tests. Well, the US firm that supplied cladding which was used on Grenfell Tower has ended global sales of the product for use in high-rise blocks. The firm is called Arconic, said it was discontinuing global sales of Rainobond PE for use in tower blocks due to issues identified after the fire, which is feared to have killed 79 people. That fire on the 14th of June, of course, nearly 2 weeks ago. Theresa May has asked councils to speed up these tower block safety tests. And as I mentioned, it's been announced 75 have failed. Now, four more inquests have opened, including that of a boy aged five. The body of Isaac Paulos, who lived with his family on the 18th floor, was found on the 13th floor, according to Westminster Coroner's Court. The preliminary cause of his death was given as inhalation of fire fumes. How sickening that is. How sickening it is. Again, questions continue to be asked, not only by people in the independent media, but more importantly by people who escaped that building and by people who live in similar blocks. Those questions being, how could flammable cladding be applied to buildings for aesthetic purposes, by the way, not in any way to enhance the safety of the building or make life better for the residents, but so that wealthier people in the areas didn't have to look at eyesore tower blocks. Questions continue to be asked, including how could that material be banned in other countries around the world, and yet how could it be put on buildings here in the UK? By the way, not a single media outlet in this country has called out the lies told by Theresa May in the House of Commons last Thursday. If you were listening to Thursday's programme, you'll remember me playing you Theresa May's response to a question from Harriet Harman. What did Theresa May say? Well, she said that as she understood it, the coroner who led the Lachenal House fire inquest didn't recommend retrofitting sprinklers. This is a huge lie. The coroner who had or who chaired the inquest into Lachenal House was a judge called Francis Kirkham. And Francis Kirkham wrote to Community Secretary at the time, Eric Pickles, outlining that sprinklers were a priority and that indeed they should be retrofitted. They didn't fit sprinklers because, as we've demonstrated on this programme, they have pursued a policy of allowing the buildings fall into disrepair in order that those buildings can be torn down at a later stage. A couple of tweets about Tommy Robinson today. I'm not very interested in this at all. Tommy Robinson, former EDL founder, calls himself an activist these days, blames everything on Islam. Robinson was at Ascot and a video has emerged of him throwing punches at somebody. A witness has said that Robinson was the instigator of the violence. Robinson and his followers say that he wasn't, that he was pursued by somebody who was intending to cause him and his wife harm. Robinson was filmed scuffling with a man. This is at 7 p.m. on Saturday at Ascot Racecourse. He threw several punches. That's what you can see in the video anyway. But in fairness to Robinson, it's hard to know what happened because we come in on the video when Robinson is throwing punches. Robinson says that before that, he was accosted and threatened and put in harm's way by the man. The video comes from the coach's onboard camera, a motor coach, as they used to be called back in the days of Enid Blyton, a motor coach. Robinson apparently went to the races on a coach, and it is that coach that filmed Robinson throwing several punches at a guy staggering backwards while putting his hands up. So there you go. The driver is saying that Robinson was the instigator of it, that he was the instigator of the violence. Again, the video is inconclusive. You can't make any judgment from looking at the video, and I don't really care. But a number of you are asking me today, what did I think of it? Do you know what I think of it? It doesn't happen to me. I go out all the time to a lot of places, and I speak to a lot of people about a lot of different subjects, and I sometimes speak with people whom I disagree with, but I never get involved in a brawl. And I think most people are the same. And I think most people, whether Tommy is right or not, will say, old Tommy has previous, doesn't he? He likes to scrap, does Tommy? See, that's what people will say regardless. But then, who knows, maybe he was defending himself. I don't know, because the video is inconclusive. So US President Donald Trump ignored reports from US intelligence that said this is explosive. No pun intended, no disrespect meant to those who live under bombs. But US intelligence told Trump they had no evidence that Syria had used sarin gas to attack a rebel-held town, but Trump went ahead and fired missiles anyway. Who's saying this? Well, Seymour Hersh, the Pulitzer-winning investigative journalist who covered the My Lai massacre in the Vietnam War. Got this from davidicke.com/headlines today. Now, the Pulitzer-winning journalist Seymour Hersh wrote in Die Welt, or at least there was a report in the German newspaper Die Welt yesterday, saying that the Trump administration mishandled the media frenzy after the Syrian bombing of the rebel-held town Khan Shukun in April. Trump ignored reports compiled by American intelligence and the military that contradicted the media narrative. Isn't it interesting? You could choke on the irony. Trump doesn't pay attention to the media because it's fake news. But yet he took the media narrative that the Assad government had used sarin gas to kill civilians, and he ran with that, even though his own intelligence agencies had said to him, listen, there's no evidence to support the claim sarin gas was used. We will ask, of course, Philip Giraldi about that in a few minutes when Philip comes on the programme. Hunger Games Society, 18 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. The Hunger Games Society. More than 1 million households living in private rented accommodation are at risk of becoming homeless by 2020, according to a new report done by or compiled by the homelessness charity Shelter. Pay attention to them and to this report. Shelter says that rising rents, benefit freezes, and a lack of social housing are leading to higher levels of evictions and homelessness, which is doing what? Which is exacerbating the housing crisis. Shelters say there are rising numbers of families even on low income who are unable to buy a home and are struggling to pay even the lowest available rents in the private sector. And according to the report, which will be published on Monday but has been seen by the Guardian newspaper, in 83% of areas in England, people living in the private rented sector are seeing a growing gap between the housing benefits they receive and the price of the cheapest available rents. Extraordinary. Now, we pay £900 sterling a month for the property we rent in South Manchester, we don't get any housing benefit. We have to find a £900 a month. It's disgraceful. You know, I'm not having a go at my landlord. It's pretty much the going rate in South Manchester for rented accommodation. You either pay it or you're homeless. It's as simple as that. I mentioned on the programme last week, because I'm honest, I don't like airing my personal business in public. I really don't. I'm a private guy. But I can tell you, the future Mrs. Allen and I, we couldn't even imagine getting together the deposit required to buy a house. So we're stuck in the rental merry-go-round, paying extraordinary amounts of rent on a monthly basis like everybody else. Shelter are saying that this will result in more and more people becoming homeless in the next 10 to 15 years. And you know who's worst hit by this? People with disabilities, of course. People with disabilities. Because they said, Shelter, that in... They said that 211,000 households in which nobody works because of disabilities within those households, they're in serious, serious trouble. And we're going to see rising levels of people with disabilities forced out on the streets as well. The Hunger Games Society. 21 minutes past the hour. Just before we take a break, a number of you have been retweeting and reposting on Facebook an absolutely ludicrous story about John Hopkins, who apparently on his deathbed said he was part of the assassination plot to assassinate Princess Diana. MI5 agent admits that Diana was assassinated. This is ludicrous. This is clickbait bollocks. And it comes from the desk of Sean Addle, former director of the People's Voice, even in London. A worthless turd of a human being, Sean Addle. And uses a clickbait website called Your Newswire to push this garbage out. Worse than that, he uses a Facebook page called The People's Voice, built up by me, Ben Gelbloom and others at The People's Voice, which now has 750,000 followers on Facebook. He uses that to push out this clickbait nonsense. Avoid Sean Addle and his husband, Sinclair Treadway, and avoid Your Newswire. It is clickbait bollocks. And I am surprised that so many of you who listen to this programme, Jesus, I thought if you listened to this programme, you might be a little bit sceptical, because I'm always arguing and disagreeing with people. But no, you tweet it and repost it as if it's real. It isn't real. Come on, grow a brain. Become cynical. Look at some of this stuff and have a look at where it comes from before you start saying, I always knew Diana was murdered. Give me a break. This is the Richie Allen Show on Monday. I'm in good mood, by the way. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Right, welcome back to the programme. Philip Giraldi is standing by. I've just heard from Philip, former counter-terrorism specialist with the CIA and terrific journalist as well. Philip joins me in a minute. This is your Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com, and this is Moz.
The saintest days are mine. Why don't you find out for yourself? Then you'll see the price very closely.
in the grass. You'll never believe me, so why don't you find out for yourself? Sick down to my heart, that's just the way it goes.
It's approaching 26 minutes past the hour. That's Morrissey and Why Don't You Find Out For Yourself on the Richie Allen Show. Welcome back to it. I'm looking forward to speaking with our next guest again. He was on the programme a few months ago and you liked him a lot, as did I. I mentioned before, he's a decorated former counter-terrorism specialist and military intelligence officer of the CIA. He's also the executive director of the Council for the National Interest. And you can read him regularly on theamericanconservative.com. Terrific article there by him on Friday entitled Why Can't the UK Stop Terror Attacks? And we'll talk about that in a second. Before we do that, though, I do want to chat about news about Donald Trump not listening to US intelligence when they said they had no evidence that Syria had used sarin gas. Allegedly, or it seems that Trump instead took his, I suppose, his information from the mainstream media and told the US military to prepare a response. Before we do that, though, let's welcome back to the programme Philip Giraldi. Philip, thank you so much for coming on. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's great to have you on. I hope you had a good time with the children and the grandchildren over the last few days. I know you were busy doing that. That's always good.
Yeah, we've had the school is broken for summer, so we have the children around a lot, which is pretty good for us.
Fantastic. Keeps you young. Keeps you on your toes, as they say. A terrific article on Friday. We'll talk about that in a minute and what's happening here in the UK. But what about the news from Seymour Hersh that Trump ignored his own intelligence officers and specialists when they said that Syria didn't use sarin gas, or at least there was no evidence to suggest that they did, and he went and prepared for a response anyway, seemingly getting his information from the media? What do you think, Philip?
Well, I think Seymour Hersh is absolutely correct in this. A number of us who were former intelligence officers at the time were hearing from former colleagues that, as was the case back in April, the evidence, actually back the year earlier, the evidence just was not there to support a military action. And Trump basically blew all of this off. He told his intelligence resources and his national security people that he was horrified by these images of dead children and so on and so forth, and he was going to do something anyway. So what we resulted from this was essentially an act of war. It was a cruise missile attack on a Syrian government airbase, which killed a number of people. And it was all done based on, as you suggested, limited or no evidence. The conclusion of the intelligence people was that the evidence just was not there to make the claim that the Syrian government had staged a chemical attack.
Philip, what happens in that situation? What do experienced counterterrorism experts like yourself, what do you do when you say to a president, sir, there's no evidence the Syrians did this, so we really shouldn't do anything and we should watch it closely? Your former colleagues, Philip, how would they have reacted to that?
Well, it depends. I mean, the option you have, of course, is to resign. And you resign and you register your disapproval of what took place. But we're not seeing much of that these days. I mean, it is a high hurdle to be going over to tell people that they have to lose their livelihood and their support for their families and so on and so forth by taking this dramatic step. I think what a lot of the people in senior positions in intelligence and national security are saying are thinking now is that they can nudge Donald Trump around to a more reasonable position where he'll be paying attention to what he's being told. But I don't see any evidence for that.
You don't see any evidence for it. Who's controlling the president, Philip? We know when he got elected. I mean, I was always skeptical. I've been skeptical about politicians and elections for a long time. And there was a lot of hope on the right. And I don't mean just the very extreme far right, but on the right, the centre right. A lot of my colleagues were really happy. He was talking about pulling away from interventions that kill people and spread, you know, anti-Western feeling and all of this stuff. And then he got in and he surrounded himself with, let's be honest, a lot of neocons and a lot of people connected to the banking industry. And I wasn't surprised. I'm no clairvoyant, but I saw that coming. Is he being controlled by neocon Zionists, let's call them that, in D.C.? Are these guys calling the shots?
Well, I think the reality is that he's always been sympathetic for the Zionist position in terms of what's going on in the Middle East in general and in the broader region. I don't think there's any getting away from that. But a number of us, including myself, were seduced by these repeated comments coming from him saying that he was not interested in nation building. He was not interested in expanding by entering into new wars, and he was interested in building a positive relationship with Russia. Now, none of these things have happened. And in fact, we've gone in the opposite direction. So I suspect that he's listening to the wrong people. I would say these people are neocons. Most of them are, of course, linked to Israel. So he's hearing a lot of Israeli analysis of what's going on in the world, which I think is quite bad.
I've just tweeted your article out, by the way. Why can't the UK stop terror attacks? And never been much of a brown noser, Philip. It's a very good article. It's really well written and really thought-provoking. And you talked about the strategy employed by the United Kingdom back in 2015, the Counter-Terrorism and Security Act, which was published in 2015, but specifically on the PREVENT model within that, which I'm delighted. I mean, we don't get, we often talk about the US media. The media in this country is equally as bad, if not worse, than the media in the US. But we don't get this sort of analytical thinking or deconstruction of ideas. The PREVENT strategy, as brilliantly deconstructed by you, it drives people towards antagonism, doesn't it, Philip? It drives people against society and against coming together, against the common, or coming together for the common good, or coming together against a common enemy. And I'd like to get your thoughts on PREVENT. I'm a real cynic, Philip. You know, I think these people who come up with strategies like PREVENT, they're not as stupid as we like to think they are. And we often forgive them and we say, this is just bad planning or bad management. I wonder if these strategies are designed to do exactly that which they do, which is to drive wedges between people and foster anti-government feeling. What do you think?
Well, I think that the government very often doesn't know what it's doing in terms of the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. I think we see examples of that all the time. The problem with PREVENT is that it automatically assumes that certain people are going to be predisposed to be taking certain types of activities. I apologize for the phone. It's going off.
Don't worry, Philip. It's fine. I know you're busy. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. And I think this assumption of a predisposition that if we don't counsel them or talk to them, they will wind up doing something bad is in itself something that will impel some people to do bad things because they rebel against the system. So I think there are a lot of things that could be corrected. PREVENT is not necessarily a good solution because it singles out a certain part of the population and essentially thinks that they are in need of therapy, which sends all the wrong signals, I think.
It's really draconian. It's very Orwellian, isn't it, Philip? Because you write correctly in your article, you said PREVENT is the program receiving the most attention. It relies on the so-called conveyor belt theory, which postulates that someone who is either alienated or critical of the status quo will inevitably graduate to even more extreme views and eventually cross the line from non-violence to violence. So the state wants to intervene at any time when somebody is being critical of the status quo. But it's their human right, isn't it, Philip, to be critical of the status quo and critical of, you know, the UK government right now is responsible for the barbaric slaughter of people in Yemen, directly and indirectly. And it's kind of suggesting this prevent thing, and I've looked at this very closely, that they really want to focus on what they call non-violent extremism, Philip, but they won't define it. They're scared of defining it, because if they define it, they'll make it narrow. They want to leave it broad so that they can right. accuse anybody of non-violent extremism. Now, if some young guy from Pakistan is living in Manchester, and there are many young men from Pakistan living in Manchester, where I'm based now, and they might be third-generation Pakistani men, they might be talking about the disgusting foreign policy of the UK government as relates to Yemen. And what we're seeing with this prevent thing is we're seeing the state saying, well, we should intervene at that point. Philip, that's incredibly dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, again, it also, as I point out in my article, it ignores the fact that many of these people who are disaffected might have good reasons for being disaffected. They might come from parts of the world where people are being bombed and people are being killed and wedding parties are being wiped out and that sort of thing. And this is all the activity of Western governments. Western governments have made decisions, basically saying this is what we are doing to make ourselves more secure, even though you and I and many others will look at the situation and say, well, it doesn't make us more secure. So the UK has gotten into this situation where, admittedly, its immigration policies were unwise. When you're bringing in a lot of people from parts of the world that basically culturally are not close to you and that have other political ways of looking at things and so on and so forth, it's going to create imbalances. But the imbalances, I think, are exacerbated by the fact that governments have misinterpreted a lot of things and have basically taken positions overseas, which these people will then see as, you know, threatening. And in my article, I mentioned that in Britain, there are, 23,000 people who are under suspicion. I mean, this is an astonishing number of people and something way beyond the capabilities of any police force to monitor.
Philip, you're
so
a proper...
They've created a catch-22.
My apologies for interrupting. I mean, there's no better man than you today to comment on this. I mean, you served with distinction as a counterterrorism specialist for the CIA. And again, I'm not kissing your backside. I say that for anybody who might just have come in on the program, because this is central. This is seriously important. 23,000. Do you think, Philip, that that's genuinely credible? I know it's difficult for you because you won't have had access to documentation. I know that. What's your gut feeling? Do you think it's credible that 23,000 radicals might be in this country?
No, I don't think it's credible at all. And I think the fact is, as I mentioned in the article, and you also mentioned a couple minutes ago, the government tendency is to make it look like they've not missed anybody. So they constantly are broadening the definition of what constitutes someone who's under suspicion. In a lot of cases, these are actual products of the PREVENT program, where someone in a school or a bank or a post office or a government office calls in and says, well, I think this man who was just in here was behaving strangely, and he goes on the list. So there's a lot of that goes into it too.
There is indeed. Philip Giraldi is on the line, folks. The article, let me just scroll up there so I can get the link again. Why can't the UK stop terror attacks? TheAmericanConservative.com. We've got Philip for another 10 minutes, and judging by the ringing phones in the office there, he'll be in demand today. There's no doubt about that on this issue and others. Philip, I spoke with former MI5 agent David Shaler a few days ago, and David was, of course, famous for blowing the whistle on the UK intelligence agency's attempts to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi in the mid-1990s. And David is convinced, and he did share with me material that supports his contention, that MI6 were not only known to Ramadan Abedi, who would be the father of the man who blew himself up in Manchester a month ago, but that he was intimately acquainted with them, and that MI6 in fact gave him £40,000 as one of maybe other payments to do with, you know, making attempts on Gaddafi's life. Now, again, I know you can only speculate as an expert, and I know it's maybe unfair to ask you this, but, you know, thankfully, I didn't know anybody who died at Manchester Arena. I live in the city, and I know the city very well, and I know the arena very well. I didn't know anybody who died. I know some people who worked in one of the hospitals who treated some of the kids. The injuries were horrendous. Philip, I'm going to get to the point. If my family was affected by that bomb in Manchester, and I found out that the father of the bomber was intimately acquainted with MI6, and in fact was running assassination ops in Libya in 1996, I would be crying foul, Philip. What's going on with our intelligence agencies?
Well, you know, intelligence agencies, by their very nature, play a very convoluted game. And sometimes this convoluted game turns around and bites you. And I think that's what we're seeing some of in these operations. There have been suspicions about many CIA operations, and I'm sure you're well aware of, that essentially this is the kind of thing going on where someone comes up with a clever idea for using someone or using a situation, and they don't think it through very carefully, and it winds up doing the opposite of what they intended to do. And because they operate under official secrecy, they're able to get away with it. And this is one of the things that myself and a number of former intelligence officers in the United States who write on these issues, this is one of the things that bothers us, the fact that intelligence agencies act with impunity. And since 9/11 in the U.S., and also in much of Europe, the intelligence agencies have been kind of able to do what they want, when they want, and how they want. And there has to be a much larger measure of transparency in terms of what goes on, in terms of the public being able to understand what is being done in their names. But I'm not a skeptic. When I hear stories like this MI6 story, I believe it's completely plausible. And some of the MI6 machinations and GCHQ operations that were involved with Trump and the alleged Russian plot, I think these things are all quite plausible too. No one should really trust anyone in government anymore.
No. Do you know, Philip, I was thinking, when it emerged that Salman Abedi was the bomber at the Manchester Arena, it also emerged that French intelligence and other intelligence agencies had warned the United Kingdom that he was coming back into the country, and that he'd met with Daesh hierarchy, and he'd been in Turkey, and he'd been a bad boy. He was up to bad things. Now, again, you know, we're lucky that, you know, people like Ray McGovern and your good self come on this program. And again, this is not kissing your ass, Philip, but I know enough about you, having researched your career and everything you've done, that if you were the case officer at MI6, there is no way that Salman Abedi would have, well, first of all, he would have been able to come back into the country, but you'd have known he was in the country, and there is no way he would have been able to construct a devastating suicide bomb, walk into a massive arena, one of the biggest in the world, and kill loads of people. Now, Philip, you must be saying to yourself, a guy of your experience, how the hell did they allow that happen?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, and the fact is that the intelligence agency, to a certain extent, are out of control. And these sorts of things would not have been thought of prior to 9/11. And now they seem to be the norm. And this is what is really scary about the situation. We no longer have control over what some elements in our government are doing. And even within the government, stuff is kept secret. For example, I was talking to a senator a couple weeks ago about some of the bills that are impending in terms of national security and stuff like that. And the senator admitted to me, he said that they haven't even seen the drafts of the bills. They don't know what's going on. So here you have at top levels of the government, people who don't know what's going on in other parts of the government.
Quite extraordinary. Philip Giraldi is on the line. We've only got a couple of minutes before Philip has to go. Go to theamericanconservative.com. Why can't the UK stop terror attacks? There are many articles by Philip on there. Very well briefed, obviously. Thought-provoking articles. You mightn't agree with everything, but that's a good thing. That's no bad thing either. Philip, I'm going to ask a terrible question. You might be offended by this. I hope you're not. Do you think it's possible that sometimes agencies get an inkling that something bad is going to go down, but somewhere at very high levels, way up the food trough, somebody says, Giraldi, you're off that case. I want you to go somewhere else because it might suit another agenda for that guy to get through and to murder innocent people. Now, you'll be offended by that maybe because, you know, you're not a guy who could live with that. You know, Ray McGovern is not a guy who could live with that. But do you think there are people working at MI6, CIA, Mossad, the NSA, who could countenance such a thing to allow something to happen so that another agenda can be pursued? What do you think?
Oh, I think there are numerous people at upper levels in those organizations who believe that the end justifies the means. And that's essentially what we're talking about. They think that they are providing a national security and in some cases international security. But the reality is they are creating situations which have the potential for what people in intelligence refer to as blowback, where you've created a destabilized situation that is so fragile that things happen that you no longer have any control over. And I think that many, many people that arose to the top in the intelligence agencies after the year 2000 are of this mindset. When I meet CIA officers socially, now I'm struck by the difference where the younger generation, as it were, essentially buys into this stuff about, well, we have to do this because we have to make the country more secure. People of my generation probably would have been quite skeptical of that.
On that, Philip, and I know we're running out of time, on that, do you think there might be a selection process going on where people are selected because of certain moral characteristics or because they lack certain morals? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think it's, I wouldn't necessarily describe it as a moral characteristic, but I would describe it as a certain sensitivity which might be lacking in a lot of these people in terms of they're probably fairly well educated. They basically look very good on paper, but the fact is that they don't really think beyond the immediate situation in front of them, and they react to it. They don't see that they had these situations create consequences, and the consequences are really the bad things that we've been seeing.
Absolute final question. This is the absolute final question, Philip. Do you have any hope? Do you have any hope for us? I mean, we look at what happened in the election. What a terrible choice that was. The criminal Hillary Clinton and the dreadful puppet that Donald Trump has turned out to be. Are we going to have to reevaluate even people like yourself who, you know, fought to and worked to protect the idea of democracy? Is it true that we're not in a democracy anymore and we have to completely look again at the way we live and the way we govern ourselves? Final question, absolutely, and then we'll leave it go. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, you know, a lot of people believe that in all of our countries, there is something that is referred to as the deep state. And the deep state is a kind of a shadow government that has its own objectives and its own policies. And it pretty much controls everything that we see on the surface. And I'm becoming increasingly convinced that that's quite true, that in the United States, there's a persistence of this war policy, for example, just to cite one instance, which goes on and on and on, even though the American people don't want any more wars, and essentially for Donald Trump because he promised to end them. And so, you know, this kind of thing just continues. And I see the same thing in Britain, where Britain is always endorsing these ridiculous policies in the Middle East and sending in young British servicemen to fight and to bomb people and so on and so forth. And yet nobody ever rationalizes why these policies make sense. Well, somebody has an interest in there, and the interest is very often, I suspect, what we would call the deep state.
Philip, I really enjoyed listening to you again. Thanks so much for giving us your time and coming back on the program. And look after yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. And the article, by the way, has been tweeted out several times by me. Why can't the UK stop terror attacks? TheAmericanConservative.com. That's where you'll read more articles by Philip Giraldi. Top man is Philip. Great guy. Look forward to having him back on the programme again in the future. And incredibly honest as well. You know, that's the $64 million question. You've got guys coming out of CIA and MI5 who are now saying, yes, it's more than a possibility that somebody will be allowed come into the country. And this is what the guys who scream hoax all the time don't understand. And I do sympathise with them. I don't think they're shills or they're stupid. I don't think that. But they saw the Boston Marathon and other, you know, staged events, and they think everything is staged. It isn't. It isn't staged. You know, there are genuine feelings of hatred towards the West in some men. And those feelings are entirely justified. Entirely justified. In my opinion, anyway. I don't want to sound like I'm bloody preaching here. But in my opinion, can you imagine if you were under constant bombing and, your country was constantly being interfered with by a massive Western power, putting puppet dictators in there to suit them, but dictators who brutalised you. And then when they get tired of the dictator that they've put in to be a puppet for them, when they get tired of that dictator, which has ruined your life, they then stir up fake opposition to that dictator. They then come in with the might of their warplanes and aircraft carriers. They blow you into the middle of last week or next week. They kill your children. Jesus Christ, you're going to hate them. And some people are going to try and do something about that. So it's not, you know, preposterous. I still get emails from people, Richie, I don't believe that the Manchester arena happened at all. I don't believe it happened at all, Richie. I don't buy it, Richie. Everything is fake. It's not fake, in my opinion. They allowed Salman Abedi come back into this country. They allowed him swan around the city centre, going about his business, while at the same time he was putting together a bomb to murder people with. Why? Because it serves an overall agenda. And you've just heard one of the most famous retired CIA officers telling you that this is a common thing. Let him in. Let them blow places to pieces and kill people. And what we do then is we turn on the Muslim population of the UK. Black and white, we're back to this again. Our reaction is not proportional to what happened. And that's exactly the way the system wanted. It's extraordinary to hear that. 7 minutes to the top of the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show. In association with DavidIke.com, we're broadcasting live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. Please bookmark fabradiointernational.com. And we're also live on TuneIn Radio. And Truth Seeker has been tweeting, do download on your phone or your tablet, download the Truth Seeker app. It's a wonderful app, and when you download it, doesn't cost you a penny, doesn't cost you anything. You automatically receive podcasts and programs from producers and content creators all over the world. Great stuff. You get everything from InfoWars to 21st Century Wire. You'll get loads and loads of podcasts. You'll get lots of stuff, and it'll come to you automatically. You don't even have to do it for yourself. That's how lazy we've become. Hi to Paul Sweeney and to Mark Morrison. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take some music. When I come back, I'll read some of your tweets. Paul Simon on The Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. This is called You Can Call Me Al. Love this song. Welcome to the programme. Monday, 26th of June, 2017. Start of a brand new week.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Just a beer belly, beer belly. Mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy, when you call me,
Europe's most listened to independent radio show, The Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. That was Paul Simon and You Can Call Me Al. Chevy Chase in the video. Do you remember Chevy Chase, eh? Good stuff. Faisal tweets, I do think the authorities media, the authorities slash media deliberately withhold evidence from the public to make real attacks resemble fake ones. Faisal thinks the media and the authorities withhold info to make real attacks resemble fake ones. Mark tweets, the problem for so many people is now trying to decide the staged from the real. I guess that is part of the game. Yeah, it is. Most of them are genuine attacks, though. Most of them. At least, again, I must state clearly, that is my opinion. For what it's worth, I don't know any more than you. I'm not any more of an expert than you or anybody else. I think a lot of the time, most of the time, I think people have to die. They have to die, right? Not just to keep it on the level in case we figure out the hoax. It's not just that, but they need the real anger in communities. You know, they need people to know people who died. That's very important for them. You know, you need to know people who died. You need to know Mrs. Stacy down the road, across the road there. Jesus, she was at the concert minding her own business. Anger, rage that they want to spill over, of course. So, yes, staged events have happened, but you know, I think most of the time these things happen, people do die. September the 11th, thousands died. Luga tweets, Richie, they want us to know to question fear. If we had such enemies or numbers in this country, we would know it, full stop. We would have tons of blood, simple as. Yeah, so I read that the wrong way around. Luga is saying, if there were 23,000 radicals determined to cause chaos in this country, we would know it, says Luga. We would have lots of blood, lots of attacks. It's as simple as that. I agree with Philip Giraldi. I don't believe there are 23,000, you know, terror cell people in this country waiting for the opportunity to kill. I don't believe that. But I believe there are some people in this country whom have, you know, the perverse Wahhabi. I'm not going to say this again because I say it too many times. And that also feeds into what our governments and the US government, what they've done in these countries, the damage that we've done, the murders we've committed. We're talking millions of people. And they allow such people in. This is the thing. And that's where you get Katie Hopkins and Tommy Robinson and Richard Littlejohn and John Gaunt and all of these right-wing rabble-rousers, these far-right people screaming that, you know, it's an epidemic. It's not an epidemic. And what actually exists has been formatted, has been allowed happen, has been allowed grow and foster by the intelligence agencies. That last few minutes of the Philip Giraldi chat there is very powerful, what Philip Giraldi is saying to you. As a legendary counter-terrorism officer with the CIA, yes, I can tell you, things are allowed happen. You know, some people think September the 11th was allowed happen. No, I don't think that. I think that goes much further than just, you know, it was allowed happen. I think it goes much further. I think a number of intelligence agencies conspired to make September the 11th happen, in my opinion, for what it's worth. But yeah, the Salman Abedi thing at the Manchester Arena, that makes perfect sense. Philip said himself that, you know, he was stunned that French intelligence could tell the UK this guy coming back into the country represented a clear and present danger to the safety of everybody in whichever city he, you know, and obviously he was coming back to Manchester. This guy was deadly. There is no way they could have lost track of him unless they wanted to. You know, you're off the case. We're committing too much or too much time and too many resources to this Abedi thing. You're going down to Swindon and you're off to Plymouth to look at stuff there. We're not convinced of the intelligence against Abedi. Next thing, bang, 22 people are dead. But they don't answer to anybody, as Philip Giraldi says. They don't even answer to politicians. They don't answer to anybody. We don't have a media. The media are not asking these questions. When did a newspaper in this country write an article saying, I mean, it should have been on the front page, shouldn't it? In massive print. How in the name of feck? That should have been the headline. How in the name of feck? How in the name of Jesus? Can you look us in the eye and say you lost track of Salman Abedi after being told 2 days ago by other intelligence agencies, this guy was deadly? They let stuff like this happen. And in comes the Non-Violent Extremism Act, written about so brilliantly in that article by Philip Giraldi, Why Can't the UK Stop Terror Attacks? The Prevent Strategy. As soon as anybody starts talking about British policy overseas killing people, we need to intervene because that person might get radicalised. No, that person is a critical thinker, is a free thinker. That person is thinking, yes, we're blowing the shit out of Yemenis. Why are we doing that? 5 minutes past the hour. Gerald Celente is on the programme momentarily. He'll be with us in a minute. We're going to take a very quick break. Before that, though, stay with me.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back, welcome back. Monday, June 26th, 2017. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. Now, did you not know that there are three events specifically taking place later this year to mark the launch of David Icke's forthcoming book? There will be an event in London, in Edinburgh and in Manchester, all within a period of a few days. It's a dinner event. You basically buy a ticket, you get your dinner and you get a ticket and you get to hear a question and answer session with David. Go to davidikestore.com. That's davidikestore.com. He will be in Manchester. These events are taking place on November 13th, 15th and 17th at Edinburgh, London and Manchester. Go to davidikestore.com. That'll be fun. I'll be at the London and Manchester events, those two events. I'll be introducing David. It's got nothing to do with me, obviously, but I'll be there to introduce him and to take part in the Q&A where I'll be asking questions of David, and then maybe we'll take questions from the audience. I think that's how it'll work. It promises to be extraordinary. Those evenings do, so go to davidikestore.com to find out more details. 7 minutes past the hour. Bet you can't wait to hear the terrific Gerald Celente. Well, let's get him on. Before we do that, though, let's have some Reverend Al Green. This is the Reverend Al Green. K. Billy, Super Sound of the 70s on the Richie Allen Show. Back in two.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. 'Cause you make me feel so brand new. I want to spend my life. Same scenes, baby, since we've been together. Ooh, loving you forever is what I need. Let me be the one you come running to. Never be untrue. Oh, baby, let's stay together. Loving you weather. Times are good or bad, happy or sad. Just came to see you'd
Al Green and Let's Stay Together on the Richie Allen Show on davidike.com. Just waiting for Gerald to pick up there. He'll be with us in a couple of seconds. Do bookmark and check out and indeed subscribe to the Trends Journal. It's at trendsresearch.com, the terrific Trends Journal. And if you're on YouTube regularly, I can't recommend highly enough Trends in the News with the terrific Gerald Celente. 11 minutes past the hour on your Richie Allen Show. Do, as I say time and time again, check out fabradiointernational.com online. Some outstanding programmes there covering all manner of different genres. Wonderful comedy programmes, film programmes, programmes about gaming, music programmes, completely independent and original. And it remains one of the, if not the most listened to, online radio stations in the world. It really is terrific. 11 and a half minutes past the hour. I think there might be a small problem there with the old connection to Gerald. We'll endure it. We'll put up with it and we'll hopefully connect with him in a couple of minutes. It gives me time to tell you that Stuart Swerdlow joins the programme on Wednesday. Max Egan joins me live from España. Max is in Casares, not far at all from where the future Mrs. Allen and I lived for many years in Spain. Max is there, so he'll join us tomorrow for an extended conversation with Max Egan. He's got a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about 5G and the rollout of 5G, among other things. Don't miss that. Max Egan on your Richie Allen Show tomorrow. Now, on Thursday, I've got to be away all day. I'm out of the city on Thursday. Sadly, it can't be avoided, something that was in the planning quite a while. So I'm out of the city on Thursday, but there will be a programme on Friday to make up for my absence on Thursday, okay? I know some of you listen to it every day, so I'm giving you a heads up. There won't be a live show on Thursday, but there will be on Friday, early Friday afternoon, to make up for my non-showing on Thursday. Tell you what we'll do while I figure out what's going on with the line at Gerald's end. Let's take some music from the Bee Gees, because Barry Gibb was at the Was it Robin or Barry? It'll come to me. I'm going Glastonbury to Massachusetts. Something's telling me I must go home.
Of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. they become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back to the programme and welcome to Mr. Gerald Celente. Gerald, I couldn't even speak to you off air there. I was rapidly trying to get back on to beat the ad break. How are you?
Ah, we're good over here.
You're sounding great. Folks, it's obviously I mentioned before the break there, the legendary trends research publisher Gerald Celente is on the line, of course, the author, political commentator and predictor of geopolitical and economic trends successfully for many years. Go to trendsresearch.com. Do subscribe to the journal. I can't recommend it highly enough. And I'm glad that we got past the technical difficulties and Gerald is on the line. Tell me this, mate. Did you enjoy your trip to Ireland a couple of weeks ago?
Well, actually, it didn't happen. A couple of things happened, so we cancelled it.
Ah, right, that's a shame. I hope you get to put it on and you do it in the future. Yeah. I was keen to know how you got on, but it'll happen eventually. Gerald, thanks for taking the time out to speak to us today. Number of things I want to get into. We'll talk about the never-ending saga of Russia and Trump and hacking elections. Before that, though, It's becoming a national sport among US celebrities to mention Trump and assassination. And no matter what anybody thinks of any politician, a little bit unsavoury that, Gerald, and maybe there's something a bit more sinister to it than meets the eye. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's more sinister than meets the eye. It's how low America has sunk. And, what do I care what a comedian has to say or an actor? I mean, whatever happened to statesmen in this country? And actually, that's one of the big stories we wrote about in the Current Trends Journal about what's going on. And what we write is that, let me see here. Oh, here we go. And now Democrats and the prostitute media are dealing the impeachment card with each Trump misstep and allegation, true or false, that they can use in an attempt to remove him from office. Even sore loser Hillary Clinton has joined the impeachment chorus. So low has the U.S. media sunk to sink Trump that with each passing day, they pass off blowhard comedians and actors as intellectual fodder to dump on Trump. Among them, John Oliver blasts Trump for Comey firing. Rosie O'Donnell likens Trump to Satan. Stephen Colbert fires away at Trump. You're a bad president. Please resign. Fallon, devastated by Trump interview. Bill Maher, offends Trump supporters with crude Ivanka Trump incest joke. For the most part, these cheap shots of Mickey and Minnie Mouse quality performers are taken seriously by millions of people from low class to high brow. These two-bit comics have become moral authorities and political sages. So important have they become that during the campaign election cycle, candidates saturate the comedy show circuit, yucking it up, stooping down, and bending over to TV court jesters.
It's incredibly serious that, Gerald, isn't it? That a generation of people are informing themselves and deriving understanding of serious events from watching late night talk shows or comedy talk shows or Comedy Central or whatever. Wasn't this inevitable, though? Weren't we always going in this direction? I mean, you've been, speaking to, yo-yos like me for years and years and years. We were always heading in this direction, weren't we? This complete banal.
Well, what happened, what put us in this direction was when Bill Clinton, the 1996 Federal Communications Act when he deregulated the communications industry. You had literally thousands of private radios, TV stations throughout the country. Yeah, you had the big networks, but you know, all the local stations were owned locally.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have all these big conglomerates. It was against the law. And so now you have six companies controlling over 90% of the media in America. And then when you turn on the Cartoon News Network, you know, CNN or Fox or any of these, you know, they have their paid contributors. You know, why do I have to hear some jerk from a Republican or Democratic Party telling me what is? And that's all these people are. You know, it's one after another. There's little Georgie Stephanopoulos on ABC. Where did he come from? Oh, he was a little mouthpiece for the Slimer Clinton campaign. Oh, who's this meet the prostitute little boy, Chucky Todd? Oh, yeah, he worked for a Democratic guy, too. It's one after another on both sides. You know, so we don't have a media here. We have prostitutes.
Yeah.
We have little boys and girls that get paid to put out with their Washington Johns and their corporate media masters tell them to say and do.
And that's a really important point you just made there, Gerald. It wouldn't be so bad. I mean, it would still be bad if these people actually had opinions of their own. But they're given these talking points, memos from on high, aren't they? These are the things you're going to push today. You're going to push hard against Trump and Russia. You're going to do this. And they willingly do it for a big check. I mean, you mentioned how, and you're quite right, this is exactly what happened in 1996 in the United States. And it laterally happened here. You'll be aware of this, but many of our listeners won't be aware of it. Radio stations in the UK are pretty much owned by two companies, Global Media and Bauer Media. And I came through commercial radio, you know, and served my apprenticeship as a journalist. I understand how important it is, Gerald, that the local radio stations and TV stations are owned by people within those communities. But they're not. This is the tragedy. I mean, you do an amazing job, and I'm not kissing your arse. I'm not. With the Journal and others do terrific, you know, work. But you're climbing Everest every day, aren't you, against this tidal wave of nonsense, this lunacy that we see.
Well, yes. You know, we used to be on, I used to be on, you know, CNBC,
yeah,
and Bloomberg, Oprah, The Today Show, Good Morning America. I was on everybody, Fox, you name it. You know, being, you know, from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. No, they don't quote us at all. They don't bring us on anymore because they have the agenda. Again, I'm not making this up. Look at the little boy that CNN just brought in, this Anthony Blinken. Look him up. Blinken, how about BS? How about a little slimy nothing of a cowardly boy when the Saudis announced that they were going to invade Yemen from Washington, D.C.? We heard this assistant secretary of BS under the Obama administration tell us how he was going to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, working with the Saudis in the invasion of Yemen. And now he's brought on as the CNN foreign policy expert. How about a foreign policy whore? How about a sick SOB? How about a psychopath? No, excuse me. He's not, yeah, he is a psychopath. I was going to say sociopath, but he's really a psychopath because all these people that love wars and keep them going, that's their trip. And that's who they have on all the media.
Philip Giraldi was on just before you, Gerald. And he was in good form and he had a lot of very, very important things to say. And, you know, we were talking about pretty much what you've been talking about there. You know, the tyranny of our intelligence agencies, of the press and everything. And I said to him, you know, what do you do, before we come to Trump and Russia, of course, I said, what do you do about it? Because, you know, obviously elected officials controlled by these people, we can't do anything about it. And he seemed very resigned to it. You know, there is a deep state, he said, a very deep state that most people are not aware exists. And they are controlling these people. Whether it's the neocons and the Zionists controlling Trump or Clinton or Obama or whatever. Before we talk about this Russian nonsense, and which seems to be escalating on a daily basis, what is the ultimate answer to this, Gerald? Is it non-violent civil disobedience by massive amounts of people? Or is it going to require something more unpalatable than that in terms of people taking to the streets? What do you think?
Well, you know, look when the Berlin Wall came down. What happened? People started protesting and they never left. And more kept coming and they never left. And more kept coming and they never left. America's become a nation of cowards. Trump actually is a symbol of America for what it's become. You know, he eats crap and talks crap. And the Democrats are the flip side of the same coin. Hypocrites, little liars. They love their Obama as he, quote, "I'm really good at killing people," was slaughtering over 4,000 innocent people with drone strikes. They love their Obama who destroyed Libya. Oh, and if only women were in charge? Yeah, how about Hillary Clinton, Samantha Power, and Susan Rice behind the overthrow of Gaddafi? And anybody could Google up Hillary Clinton, CBS News, Gaddafi, and you can see when they asked her, how did she feel when she found out Muammar Gaddafi was killed? Killed? How about he was sodomized with swords? And she goes, "We came, we saw, he died." What I'm saying to you is this is what America's become. And it's not going to change until morality comes into play. And I don't see that happening.
Not anytime.
And so it becomes a moral issue. And this nation, again, is void of morality. By their deeds you shall know them. I just read you from the Trends Journal how Americans look up to little clowns, little Bill Mayers and John Olivers and John Stewarts, bad comedians, man, with lousy attitudes.
Folks, go to trendsresearch.com, bookmark it, and subscribe to the journal. I'm very lucky. The good folks at the Trends Research, at Gerald's team, they send me the journal. I don't miss it. It's terrific. I can't recommend it highly enough, and my word is gold. I'm not an easy sell. Get the Trends Journal. Gerald, if we're becoming this world of identitarians... Fascinating recently listening to people like Gilad Atzmon and David Icke and others talking about how we've come to see the world in terms of our, you know, our chosen identity. I'm a socialist. I'm a conservative. I'm a gay man. I'm a lesbian woman. I'm a whatever. And I see the world through the terms of the social group which I think I belong to. This is a terrible thing because what people do then, and this absolutely endorses your article in the Trends Journal this quarter. What they do then is they seek out echo chambers, don't they, Gerald? They seek out these people that you very funnily but very, you know, properly described, these commentators. They seek out people who ultimately confirm their worldview. I could have made that very short by saying, we don't argue with each other anymore, Gerald, do we? Like proper
Again,
arguments, proper arguments.
You nailed it, and that's exactly what's happening. What kind of adult would call themselves a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or a conservative? I mean, how about putting yourself in a narrow little box? And once they put themselves in the box, they're boxed in. But what the worst part of it is the hypocrisy of them all. They claim to be something, and then when the people that they believe in can, you know, do the opposite things from what they pretend to believe in, they support the person that they bow down to. So that's what we have going on. And again, there's really the only way we see it happening is through two methods. One is direct democracy. And of course, they do that in Switzerland. The people vote on crucial issues. You want to go to war? Okay, let's put a ballot up. We could vote online. I mean, excuse me, everybody's complaining about people shopping online. You have your bank's accounts online. We can't vote online. So if we could bank online, we could vote online. Put it back in the people are so stupid. Yeah, the people are so stupid, but look at the stupid freaks we have leading us. So at least the people who get what they deserve rather than another liar.
Yeah.
Look at Trump. He's no different than Obama. Obama lied his way into office, and so did Trump. You know, Obama was going to be the peace president. How about a piece of crap, Nobel piece of crap president? Yeah, the guy who destroyed Syria, destroyed Libya, Trump sold the Saudis $110 billion worth of armaments in 1 year. Yeah, boy, he almost beat out Obama. Obama sold him $115 billion. So what I'm saying is they lie their way into office, just like Trump said he was, you know, leave Assad alone. You know, we don't even know who these moderate rebels are. Oh, yes, generals, and generals don't even know who they are. And bam, 59 missiles being sent in to kill civilians, and now he's upping the ante over there? He's a liar just like the rest of them. So direct democracy, to me, is the only way out. Political parties become corrupt. They're not parties, they're gangs. They're murderers and thieves. And they lose traction because they lose the focus, just like what happened in Italy over this past week and the week before, where you saw the five-star movement, Cinque Stelle, lose great ground because they haven't produced in Rome. And that was the big win when they brought the mayor in. And so what happens is now Berlusconi's party's back in power. And the same thing's going to happen in the UK. You know, we don't see strong people. So bring it back into the hands of the people. We don't need a bunch of flunkies to rule our lives. I was not put on this earth for people to tell me what to do.
Absolutely right, Gerald. Or to go and murder people in your name or in my name or anything else. Gerald Celente is on the line. We've got Gerald for another 10 minutes, just over 10 minutes. Go to trendsresearch.com. Terrific to have him on. I did mention earlier on as well, by the way, Trends in the News, the fantastic broadcast which they put on YouTube. Don't miss that either. Great to have Gerald on the programme. Just before we come to Russia and all of this nonsense, Gerald, you used to have arguments with people. I don't mean you specifically, but there was a time when we weren't horrified or offended by people who disagreed with us. I mean, you ran political campaigns. I'm sure you had people on your team who said, well, Mr. Celente, I don't think this is the right thing to say in this statement. And you'd have a good old Barney about it and you would disagree with one another. What's happened to us that we can't take criticism or disagreements with the positions that we hold dear to one another? This is fatal, isn't it? It's a fatal
thing. Yes, it is. People have become so narcissistic. Again, yeah. Trump is the perfect example of America. He's a narcissist. Go back to, and that's the way narcissists behave. Look, I'm the same age as Trump. One of the greatest threats when I was a little kid, they couldn't control me. You're a little SOB, I had enough of your crap, you're going to military school. Trump was so bad, he was so narcissistic, so out of control, they actually sent him to military school. I mean, and this place is only about, 30 miles from where I am over here in Cornwall, New York. We're in Kingston, New York. Could you imagine you're a teenage boy, and, if you're straight, what do you want? You want chicks, you want cars, and you want sports.
Yeah.
And here he is playing, dressed up in military drag, learning how to make his bed properly and eating crappy food because he was so out of control, so narcissistic. Let's go back now to the arrogant Obama. You want to talk about a narcissist? How many times did that fake fraud who lied his way into office use the term how exceptional Americans are? You heard that term over and over again.
Exceptionals. Yeah.
That's narcissistic. Going back to why people can't have conversations, it's narcissism. People are so self-absorbed. Look, the reason they call those things handhelds that everybody uses and so connected to them? Because they're masturbating in public. That's all this thing has become. It's one big jerk off in front of everybody's eyes.
I shouldn't laugh, but it's true. If you don't laugh, you'll go crazy and you'll get so angry. I mean, I've never understood how you've kept, and others like you. I've been lucky enough over the years to interview people from your part of the world, specifically New York, Norm Finkelstein, yourself, many others. And I think, what's it like for thinking men and women to be surrounded by that? How difficult is it?
Well, that's the way we were brought up in the old days. My father, may his soul rest in peace, when I was a little kid, he'd be driving and I'd be shooting my mouth off and he'd look at me and he'd give me a disgusting look and he'd say to me in Italian, Papagallo, parrot, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. And even, in arguments, kids fight with your father. My father used to say to me, what do you think? I want you to grow up to be like me? He said, you grow up to be your own self. I'm just giving you the information. You do it what you want with it. But that was the way we were brought up, not to follow orders.
And to think for yourself.
To use your head and think for yourself. And, moving on quickly, because we don't have a lot of time, it's going to be bigger than Russia here. The United States under the Trump administration is, and now we're seeing it with Saudis, the beheaders in chief, the Wahhabis, with Qatar. Watch for war with Iran. As you get out, we only put up one Trends in the News broadcast. We broadcast each weekday night.
That's
we
right.
We put up one a week. But we send out, as you well know, trend alerts as well. And we sent out one on June 15th, Iran war. It's going to be World War III. This is being set up for a war against Iran. It's globalnomic. Remember, the one thing that, maybe one of the two things that Obama did right was by ending the sanctions with Iran. You know, Iran hasn't invaded a country in 250 years, and most people are ignorant of the CIA and the MI6 overthrow of Mossadegh, the Iranian elected president in 1953, because he took the oil power out of the hands of BP, then known as Anglo-Iranian, and Standard Oil, better known today as ExxonMobil. So they overthrew the country and put this dictator in called the Shah. So when the revolution happened, it was a revolution against the dictatorship, and Americans refused to accept it. So anyway, going back, you keep hearing Trump talking about Iran being the greatest supporter of terror in the world. That's not true. The Saudis and the Americans are, along with the French and the English, who overthrew all of these democratically elected, sovereign nations, including, not democratic, sovereign nations, including Lebanon, Libya. So now what they're doing is they're setting up a war with Iran. We believe the flashpoint is going to be between Israel and Iran and or Saudi Arabia and Iran. This is a battle going on with the Wahhabis, the Sunnis and the Shia, going back to what? The death of the Prophet Muhammad. And by the way, everything going on in the United States invasion of the Middle East, this is merely Crusades 2000. It's just the 10th crusade in language and in deeds. But watch, keep your eye on Iran, Saudis, and Israel. That to us is the triangle of danger that we see lurking.
And you have a situation over the last few days where Israel has been operating in the Golan Heights against Syria and attacking Syrian
positions. Oh, they're
actually
going into Syria, not
into
even
Syria.
The Golan Heights.
You're spot on. You're absolutely right, going into Syria. And all
the Golan Heights is occupied territory against international law that Israel stole, as they did with the other land they've stolen from the Palestinians. It's against international law. The Americans and the rest of the Western nations will bomb the hell out of any country for breaking international law. But Israel could get away with it. And you know why they could get away with it? Because the world was just created only 4,000 years ago. Forget that skull they just found that's, what, 300,000 years old. No, that doesn't have any. God was a real estate agent, and the Bible was a land deed. So Israel could do anything that it wants.
Well, you know, what you've described, there is a possibility, of course, and a strong possibility that something could happen to an Israeli position quite easily, and it could be blamed on Iran very easily.
Exactly, because they're going in now and they're bombing in Syria. They've been doing it. And they always come up with the line that, they're bringing armaments to Hezbollah. A lot of countries don't consider Hezbollah a terrorist organization. They consider them patriots, Lebanese, who arm themselves after Israel occupied the damn place, and they throw them out. How dare they occupy them and throw the Israelis out of Lebanon after they occupied it? So that's the reason they're giving. So what they're going to do is they'll probably slaughter a lot of Iranians, and the war will heat up or something to that effect. So that's what we're looking for, the Israeli-Iran-Saudi triangle, and dead center in that triangle is the American military-industrial complex.
Gerald, while all this is going on, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, and thanks for coming on today. It's great to have you on. Love having you on the programme. And our audience loves you as well. Go to trendsresearch.com. Follow Gerald on Twitter. It's at Gerald Celente. Couldn't be any easier. Many, many thousands of people tweeting there. That's another thing we could talk about all day long, by the way. You've got tens of thousands of Twitter followers. I've had, as do other men and women who've, through years of work, built up a big following. Isn't it amazing the way the logistics work with Twitter and with Facebook, how they prevent people from seeing what you're tweeting? That's another thing we could talk about all day long here, is the, you know, the way we talk about news and real opinion and genuine conversation. Twitter has algorithms to make sure that most of the people who follow you on Twitter, they don't even see your tweets, Gerard. It's an absolute nightmare. I've been watching that closely, not just with you, with other people. But back to the Russia thing before we run out of time. So, while all of this is going on, it's fair to say, isn't it, that the United States will have its dark actors operating within Russia to try and undermine the positions of the Russian President Vladimir Putin. Now, how successful they'll be or won't be, I suppose only time will tell. But still, Putin's absolute insistence, his rightful insistence on standing alongside Bashar al-Assad, that's really the last big kind of roadblock for the US and the UK and France and the rest of them. So do you see movements against Putin inside Russia, Gerald?
They're going to try, of course. I mean, the CIA and all these NGOs, you know. Matter of fact, Russia's banned a lot of them now because that's what they're doing. But they're not going to be successful in this. Not when you look at his popularity rating. And they made a big deal when that guy, I forgot his name, you know, did a legal protest after, you know, and again, it doesn't make it in the news, and they say how brutal, you know, the Russians were in locking these people up. They'd given him a permit to hold a demonstration. He canceled the permit and held it somewhere else. And that guy only has like 1% of following, but they make it in the United States like it's a big deal. But the bigger issue is what the United States is doing and NATO in bringing more and more troops to the Russian border. And as you may know, the deal when, you know, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, I'm sure he's been on your show.
He has.
And he's a good friend of mine. He spoke at our conference here, our OccupyPeace.us conference. And he was Reagan's assistant treasury secretary. He said Reagan never wanted to win the Cold War. He only wanted to end it. And the deal was that NATO wouldn't expand any further than it was. And then Slick Willie Clinton broke that deal, George W. Bush broke it, and Obama broke it. So what they're doing is they're antagonizing Russia. Could you imagine if Russian troops were on the Canadian border and Chinese troops were on our southern Mexican border? I mean, there'd be outrage all over the place here. But the United States is doing that to Russia, so they're provoking them. And it's the neocon sickos, you know, that are running this government and running the nation. Again, it's so many different levels. It's a takeover, you know, with the banksters that are controlling everything and the military-industrial complex that Dwight D. Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces in World War II, two-term president, warned us about in his speech when he left office, that the military-industrial complex was robbing the nation of the future of the children, genius of the scientists, and sweat of the laborers. Here we are.
Always love chatting with you, Gerald. You know that. Thanks so much for coming on and speaking with us. Folks, go to trendsresearch.com. Follow Gerald on Twitter. It's at Gerald Salente. Gerald, we'll talk again in the autumn or the fall, God willing. And thanks again, mate. I really love you coming on. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you for all that you do, Richie Allen.
Thanks, Gerald. The great Gerald Salente on the line to us there from Brooklyn. Go to trendsresearch.com and do subscribe to the journal. He's been predicting, Gerald, these political events and the way they're going to go and economic trends for many, many, many years. Great guy. Love having him on the program. It's exactly 16 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll take some music. Yeah, then there's loads of comments. There's loads of comments. We'll take some music, then we'll come back with your comments on Twitter there after Gerald Salente. Don't forget Max Egan on the program tomorrow. Chris Bolin joins us tomorrow as well, I believe. Christopher Bolin. And Stuart Swerdlow on Wednesday. Big old week on the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. This is the great Ian Curtis from Manchester. Joy Division.
Tearing apart.
Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart again on the Richie Allen Show. 13 minutes to the top of the hour. Excuse me. Big old slug of water there. I want to say a big hi and thank you very much to Stan Evans. How you doing, Stan? And to my mate Jonathan Brown. Thank you both very much. I really do appreciate the support for the programme. The kind words and the generous donation. Folks, go to paypal.me/Richie Allen or go to richieallen.co.uk. There are bank account details if you can support the programme financially. It needs it. It's not in the best of financial shape since the Google decision to demonetize pretty much 95% of our content, which was more or less paying for the programme. All along, that's gone. Now, we're not the only ones, of course. I'm not crying. I'm not looking for any sympathy, but it's difficult to put this together and to do five, excuse me, live radio shows a week, which will soon become five live radio shows and a live TV show a week. It does need your ongoing support. So go to PayPal. It's Richie Allen. What is it? It's paypal.me/Richie Allen. And it is, of course, there are bank account details at richieallen.co.uk. It's kind of getting urgent. The last time I made an appeal like this was back in March, and you helped out. So please do help out if you can. If not, do not worry yourself. Do continue to help spread the word about the programme in the many other ways you can do that. Alrighty. Okay. Loads of tweets came in then. Let me read a few. Let me scroll down. Quite a few. Arbor tweets, are the Saudis still the largest shareholder of Twitter? If so, manipulation is inevitable. That's a good question, Arbor. I don't know the answer. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't really have any idea who the biggest shareholder of Twitter is or was. I've no idea. So it's interesting. If anybody knows or thinks they know, please do tweet out. And a link is always good. Spirit Samba tweets, good to hear Gerald back on the show. He made me spit my tea out with his comment. One big jerk off. Brilliant, says Spirit. Yeah, if you don't find some of this stuff amusing, you'll drive yourself mad with it. David Icke always finds time for a laugh, does David. And he's right. And I try to do as well. Laugh, be merry, walk away from it at times, and give yourself a break from it, because otherwise you'll never be able to deal with it. Hi to Sean Hip Hop as well. Hubert, as I might have mentioned earlier on, loads and loads of tweets came in on Gerald. To find out what other people are tweeting, go to twitter.com. Put Richie Allen Show, all one word, into Twitter. If you press enter, you will then see what other people have tweeted to me. Couldn't be any easier than that. Back in exactly 60 seconds.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back to the program. Gilad Atzmon, the genius saxophonist and writer and commentator, tweeted today and included me in the tweet, so I saw the tweet. The boycott, divestment, sanction movement won't endorse a concert featuring a Palestinian virtuoso because Gilad is on the bill himself. The Palestinian virtuoso is Kamal Musallam. Kamal Musallam. I must check out the music of Kamal Musallam. But Gilad says BDS won't endorse the concert because Gilad is on the bill. Presumably, the Palestinian virtuoso is raising awareness of BDS and of the crimes of the Israeli regime against Palestine and Gaza. But BDS won't have anything to do with it just because Gilad is on the bill. You see this narcissistic bollocks that I was speaking to Gerald Celente about there? This complete diva behaviour by people within organisations, which the elite love. They get a hard-on for this stuff, for people becoming the story. They love it. There was uproar a few weeks back on Sunday View when I talked about people trying to become the story rather than report on it. And I knew there were uproar and I didn't give a shit because I don't care. I'm not important, number one, but my skin is very thick. We see it with Ken O'Keefe and people like that. Narcissistic psychopaths who want to be the story. Look at the BDS movement. We're not going to endorse or support a concert raising awareness about BDS because Gilad is on the bill. Moronic, narcissistic behaviour. And I see it everywhere. Like Haley Joel Osment. I see stupid people everywhere. Stupid narcissists. Does it matter who's on the bill? There are people coming together to talk about how to actively punish Israel for its crimes. And in your own tiny way, you cannot buy that hummus that's made in Israel. You can buy hummus made somewhere else. That's a good thing. But no, we're not endorsing it because Gilad is on the bill. Madness. Madness. Echo chamber narcissism. Why not speak with Gilad? Hey, Gilad, we think the way you say things or sometimes the way you do things, we don't agree with it. Pretty well, let's have a conversation about that. We might find we have more in common than we don't. We might find we actually agree and we actually might formulate a few ideas. We might come up with a few ideas, you see, that will take this thing one step forward. But no, I'm not having anything to do with somebody because I disagree with them. Madness. Madness. Drives me fucking mad. But anyway, we're going to leave the show on a positive. On a positive. And the positive is, we're going to do it all again tomorrow. You and I will chat again tomorrow at 7 p.m. BST. We're on davidicke.com, Fabradio 2, and TuneIn Radio. Christopher Bolin and Max Egan are my guests. Stuart Swerdlow joins the programme. Let me just, having a quick chat with Christopher Bolin while I'm speaking with you. We'll do it all again. Wednesday, Stuart Swerdlow. I'm away on Thursday. Can't help it. But we will do a show on Friday. On Friday. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday. Thank you for sharing some of your Monday with me. It means a lot to me. It really does. Go to paypal.me/Richie Allen. It needs your support, folks. And it needs it now. So please do it if you can. If you can't, don't worry your head about it. Going to leave you with some Snow Patrol, a song called Chasing Cars. The podcast will be online soon, and I will have the YouTube videos online very early in the AM tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. Alrighty. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
We'll do it all. Don't need any
If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? I don't quite know how to say three words I said too much, they're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie? Waste time chasing cars around our heads. I need your grace to remind me to find my own. If I lay here.